go. Top story of the morning. Dallas Cowboys, who lost to the Eagles yesterday, now need to beat Washington and then hope that Philadelphia loses to the Giants next week in order to get into the playoffs. As for yesterday's game, Dak Prescott struggled, completing just 57% of his passes. Keep in mind, he'd been dealing with an injured shoulder all week. Regardless, Cowboys can't pull it out, and a lot of that falls on head coach Jason Garrett.
We didn't get the job done, but we have to control what we can control. And that's our preparation leading up to the game next week against Washington.
Nick, is there anything at this point that Jason Garrett can do to save his job?
No.
And even if they win and they get into the playoffs?
I refused last week to engage in the fantasy that Dallas was all of a sudden going to go on some magical run, that after being one team through 13 weeks, because they played a good game in their 14th game, that was then going to be their 15th game, their 16th game, and on some playoff. No. And I'm going to listen, there's a fair amount of stuff on this show that I predict or I say, and it turns out I'm wrong about. This is not one of them. I said after the Patriot game, you fire that head coach. And the answer was no, you can't. It's a short week. And then when they get crushed by Buffalo on Thanksgiving at home, I said, now it's not a short week anymore. You fire the head coach. No, we can't. And then they get crushed by the Bears. And now you have a long week. And I said, you fire the head coach. And I'm just curious, if at any point they had done that, would they be in a worse position than they are now? Of course not. Because this team was 3-0. They've lost 8 of 12. They were 5-3 at the midway point. What are they now? They're 7-9? We can do that math. They are 7-8, pardon me. 7-9 is maybe a little bit of a projection. There is, to me, no argument to be had that Jason Garrett should retain this job. And in my eyes, there is no possibility that they make the Super Bowl, which is at this point the only way he could retain his job.
I think, obviously, like you said, it would take a football miracle. They get in, they beat Washington, the Eagles lose, which I'm not convinced the Eagles will win that game. I'm going to be honest. Now, I'm not going to go all the way with the miracle and say they get in the playoffs, then they win two games and get to the conference championship, which might be enough in Jerry Jones's eyes to save his job. It wouldn't be enough in my eyes. In my eyes, he would have to get to the Super Bowl to save his job. Okay, but in Jerry's eyes, maybe if they get to the conference championship. But I think the playoffs is possible just because I'm not convinced that Philadelphia is that good. Philadelphia was riding, you know, obviously you're hyped up for that game yesterday. In addition to all that was at stake, it is a rivalry. And they hadn't beaten Dallas in a while, especially with Zeke and Dak playing. So they go into there, they're on an emotional high, they get the win. I wouldn't be shocked to see a letdown, especially with the Giants, you know, coming off a big win and maybe thinking Daniel Jones is special. But even if they get in, that's not enough. Look, I think they've had plenty of opportunities to fire him before, and nobody could have said anything. His first 3 years, they were 8-8. You mentioned Tony Romo earlier. Tony Romo played all but one of those games in his first 3 years, and they went 8-8. He's been there 9 full seasons now, 3 winning records. 3 times, if they don't make these playoffs, 3 times out of 9 you're in the playoffs and you're retaining your job? No.
And losing enormous games at the end of the regular season has happened more often than not. 2011, 2012, 2013, you lose in week 17 to miss the playoffs. 2 years ago, the first game after Zeke's suspension, remember that? When they have an opportunity after winning the last 3 games of Zeke's suspension to get into the playoff picture, you lose a critical game to Seattle. And this year in week 16, you lose this game to Philadelphia. I want to just go back quickly to that final offensive play. It's 4th and 8. Amari Cooper says he's not winded in the postgame commentary. They just have the regular rotation of guys. I know Jason Garrett is not your de facto play caller anymore. That's Kellen Moore. The head coach of that football team in that spot with your season on the line, if he sees on the field is Jason Witten, Blake Jarwin, Tavon Austin, Michael Gallup, you got 3 timeouts. You don't need them if you don't get the first down anyway. The game's over. You make sure your best players are on the field. You make sure Randall Cobb and Amari Cooper are on the field in a spot like that, and they didn't do it.
Nick, it honestly, it felt like they had benched Cooper Because there were several times in critical situations that he wasn't on the field, even before that. Now, so Cooper, as bad as it was, to your point, that didn't surprise me as much as Cobb. Cobb had just had a big catch, and he's obviously a good possession receiver. The fact that he wasn't on the field either is just ridiculous.
All that plus the fact that Ezekiel Elliott was limited after what he did last week, after the money you paid him coming into the season, after the fact that you were going to essentially be a running team right. because he's your best player, even though Kellen Moore had three great opening weeks with Dak Prescott. It just seems like this all falls on the head coach at some point, probably soon. Broussard, we have been debating Dak versus Wentz all season, and it culminating in two 7-7 teams going out there yesterday and battling. Did what you saw yesterday put an end to the Dak versus Wentz debate?
Not at all. I'm still with Dak. Now, I think Wentz is the better physical talent. There's no question about that. He's a better passer of the football. But one win, a regular season win, over a dysfunctional Dallas Cowboys team when you only score 17 points is not going to convince me that you've arrived. Arrived by winning a playoff game or two, especially when a lot of your players won a Super Bowl already, a lot of your teammates. Dak Prescott has won a playoff game. Dak Prescott is 39-23 as a starter. Carson Wentz 30-24 as a starter. Dak Prescott still has a higher QBR and passer rating this year, has thrown for more yards, way more yards than Carson Wentz has. Dak Prescott has proven he is a leader of men. He is a leader. I'm not saying he's perfect. He's got a lot of room to grow. But he is a leader of men. You don't question his leadership, and neither do his teammates in that locker room. Carson Wentz, are we convinced he could go into Dallas and handle that locker room? Because he had trouble handling the locker room in Philadelphia, and I don't think it's a coincidence that when a lot of the veterans got hurt, now you got these young guys that just want to prove that they can play in the NFL following his lead, and credit to them and somewhat discredit to the veterans who weren't following his lead. But I still have questions about the intangibles with Carson Wentz. He's been great the last few weeks. I do think he's growing in those intangibles, but I'm not convinced he could lead an Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper. These big personalities that they have in Dallas, not to mention the circus atmosphere that Dak Prescott has to maneuver. So I still think it's up for debate who's the better quarterback.
Yeah, going into the year, I didn't think it was debatable. I thought it was Carson. And I understood the numbers, and I understood that Dak, if you over the course of their entire careers going into this season, had better numbers than Carson. A lot of that work was done Dak's rookie season when he was extraordinary and Carson Wentz was a typical rookie quarterback. Years 2 and 3, Carson was clearly the better player, but he had gotten hurt. And the question for me with Carson Wentz going into this season was, can he stay healthy for a full season? Can he win a game like this? Well, he's healthy for the full year. He just won a game like this. He was better coming out of college. That's why he was the second overall pick and Dak was a fourth round pick. His peak has been higher. That's why he was on his way to winning an MVP. And Dak, his rookie year, was a contender, but not really. And since then, nowhere close. And the eye test to me has always been about Carson. What Dak has gotten credit for is winning games like this one. And in the biggest game of the year, Dak no-showed. And in the biggest game of the year, Carson Wentz, without any of his weapons, had the highest completion percentage he's had all year, the most yards per attempt he's had all year, one of his four highest passer ratings all year, and the second most total yards he's thrown for all year in what was essentially Carson Wentz's de facto first playoff game. I know he doesn't get a playoff win for it, but if they lose, they're eliminated. And let's compare that to Dak. Where Dak this year, show him against the high-quality opponents. Dak Prescott's numbers this year against projected division winners, Saints, Packers, Eagles twice, and the Patriots. That's terrible. And two of those touchdowns against the projected division winners came in garbage time against the Green Bay Packers in a game they were down 31-3. Dak's going to mop up the mediocre to bad teams. But this year against New Orleans, no Teddy Bridgewater when you're 3-0. Zero touchdowns, one pick, a 73 rating. Against Green Bay, coming off that loss, you're down 31-3, two touchdowns, three picks. In New England, zero touchdowns, one pick. Against Philadelphia yesterday, zero touchdowns, a 75 passer rating. I needed Dak to prove this to me overwhelmingly this year, Chris, because I just, my gut told me, man, when I watch these guys, one of these guys I look at and I say, that guy can be a star quarterback. Another guy I look at and I say, if everything around him's just right, he can play really well. And he's not going to kill me. And so to me, the debate won't be over for years, I'm sure. But Carson Wentz further confirmed what I already believed, which is he's the better of the two players.
See, I'm big on intangibles as a quarterback. What made Tom Brady and Joe Montana the greatest ever? The intangibles. Sure. It wasn't just the physical tools. I agree, Carson has the greater physical tools, but I think that clearly has the better intangibles. Now, Carson took a big step yesterday, but again, it still was a regular season game against a 7-7
team. But look who Carson was working with, and look who Dak's been working with. Dak had his full artillery there.
Right.
Carson had guys, he had to ask who their last name was that he was throwing the ball to.
Dak had how many drop passes? 6 yesterday. Now, granted, he missed some throws, too. Some high throws, some overthrows.
That he did
and he had a bad shoulder, too.
A bad shoulder all week.
Another intangible that no excuses. I go out there and I play. So I'm with you on Carson's physical ability and the eye test. But when I look at the locker room, look at the leadership, all of that, that's where I side with Dak. And I've never thought Dak was a guy that could carry a team. But when certain things are in place, I think he's a leader of men and can win you help you win a Super Bowl.
Just very quickly here before we move on. I understand the leadership point. But these last 3 weeks, that might be how you become a leader of men in a locker room. He hasn't been around to play December football. His rookie year, they're not any good. His second year, he gets hurt. His third year, he gets hurt. A come-from-behind win against the Giants, a come-from-behind win against Washington, and then a great win to keep your season alive and essentially almost de facto win the division against your hated rival Dallas. All of a sudden, he now has had those opportunities to win over maybe some of the skepticism in the locker room, and maybe he's done it over the last 3 weeks when he was great in the previous two games in the fourth quarter and then great throughout yesterday.
All right, let's play a little in or out. Yesterday, the Eagles picked up their biggest win of the season over the Cowboys. They now control their own destiny. Chris Broussard, you in or out on the Eagles being a threat in the playoffs?
I am out. Like I said, look, one win in which you score 17 points over dysfunctional 7-7 team is not going to convince me that you're one of the elite teams in the league. So I think they go out and lose their first game. Assuming they make it, they lose their first game in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm out. Even though I like their playoff experience over the last 2 years, and I think that does help in the playoffs. They've been as inconsistent as the Cowboys have. They were just more consistent and a little bit better yesterday.
Yeah, of course, I'm out. This team is going to host, whoever wins this division, is going to host the loser of Seattle-San Francisco next weekend, and they're going to lose to them. I'm as excited as anyone can be to bet on that football game and to bet against the home winner of the NFC East. I'm losing all my Philly credibility. I was just trying to win these people back.
Yeah, that's
it was a good win. You're not. You are who you are, which is right now a banged up, disappointing team that beat an even more disappointing team this weekend.
Except Seattle's going to be a banged up.
They are all banged up, Seattle. And in case anyone cares, I was in on that last one, but we moved away so quickly that no one even remembers. Lamar Jackson. Jackson was up to his usual tricks, carving apart the Browns yesterday. He set the NFL record for most touchdown passes in a season for a player before their 23rd birthday. Broussard, you in or out on the Ravens being the best bet to win the Super Bowl out of the AFC?
Look, it's hard to bet against the Ravens. I love them. And one thing about Lamar Jackson, you saw it even on that highlight, his touch, too. People don't talk about his soft touch on some of these passes, his placement. So they look great. But look, I've got, as you call it, pick integrity.
Take integrity.
Take integrity. Yep. I picked Kansas City to reach the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. And as good as I feel about Baltimore, I feel good enough about the Chiefs to think they can beat them. So I'm going with Kansas City. I'm out.
You're out. I'm going to go in. And here's the reason why. I think that playing in Baltimore is going to be very difficult for anybody throughout the AFC. And this offense is so unique to prepare for. It's similar to college football when you face some of those unique, whether it's the wing T or whatever it is, that you don't see on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis. It's a unique set of problems that's just so hard to prepare for. I think it gives them a big edge.
Baltimore's been awesome. Baltimore's won 11 in a row. Baltimore looks to be the most complete team in football. Understand all of that. I am out for two reasons right now. One is because there is a level of uncertainty of Lamar in the postseason. Lamar's league MVP, I think he's a superstar. We've only seen him in the one playoff game. Obviously, that one playoff game, he underperformed for 3.5 quarters. And the other reason is this. The team I think they're going to have to go through, Kansas City, has played them twice. They've beat them both times. And that was with a Chiefs defense that was in the bottom third of football. Last 5 weeks, the Chiefs have the number one scoring defense, the number one pass defense, the number one red zone defense. That guy right there is still the best player in football. So I also am going to stick with my preseason Super Bowl pick, the Kansas City Chiefs, so I am out. But that will be an amazing conference championship game, Chiefs at Ravens in Baltimore, in a game that I will go to through hell or high water.
Assuming the Chiefs get past the Patriots at some point.
Right.
Nice. On to the Browns.
Beat
now, yesterday,
no problem.
OBJ was seen yelling on the sidelines. Looked like he was arguing with Freddie Kitchens. OBJ claims he was arguing about the refs. Broussard, you in or out on the Browns being a playoff team if they had an average head coach?
How does OBJ get driven by in this question? This question's about about the coach who's just showing Odell's
just
mad.
Just showing the ugly parts of the game.
Yeah, he didn't get a pass interference call, man. He's upset. He and Freddie are talking about
earlier.
It. Go ahead.
I am out. I think if they had a super elite coach, a Bill Belichick, a Andy Reid, then yes, I think they probably make the playoffs. But with just a better coach than Freddie Kitchens, average, mediocre guy, I don't think they get in. I think they're young. I think they have some attitude issues. I think next year they'll be better. You know, I think they'll come together. They'll be more mature. They'll be humbled. Because they were talking all types of smack in the preseason. We're going to be so good. People think we're cheating and all that stuff. I think that showed immaturity and that's bitten them. I think next year they'll learn from that and be better.
It's hard to be a first-year head coach. There's no manual that you get in order to navigate through all the different decisions that you have to make. And then when you're put together with a team of guys that have these incredibly strong personalities, doesn't look like there's very much institutional support in terms of disciplining guys. And in a microcosm, you see Odell's play yesterday. He makes a really nice catch, and then he goes to the sideline. He gives some sort of
he's been doing it
symbol.
All
or I know, but he waves on the sideline, gets a personal foul penalty. To me, that is the microcosm of the Cleveland Browns. It's talented player, good play, and then make a mistake that's a self-inflicted wound that you just can't keep recovering from all those decisions.
Odell's sixth year in the league, should be noted. I believe that is his first unsportsmanlike conduct penalty of that variety. But regardless, I'm in. They're 6-9. The Raiders are still alive for the playoffs. They need two more wins to be a playoff team this year or be alive going into week 17. Hell, they were alive going into yesterday. The Rams game early in the year with an average head coach, they win that football game. That was the game where they ran the ball on 4th-and-7, where they threw the ball 4 straight times on 1st-and-goal from the 4. The Seattle game, which they were dominating. Hell, the Ravens game yesterday with better play calling. They at least still have a lead at the end of the first half. So I'm in. Baker needs to play better, but they had the worst combination you can have. Awful quarterback play and awful coaching throughout the season. None of those involve Odell Beckham, by the way. So I am in that they could have been and should have been a playoff team this year.
This was one of Odell's better years.
Oh, my God.
I was waiting. All right, the red-hot Baltimore Ravens in Cleveland to face the Browns yesterday. Baltimore actually struggled out of the gate, not scoring until just over a minute left in the second quarter. But after that touchdown, they would score on their next 4 drives. Lamar was good again, 238 yards through the air, another 103 on the ground with 3 total touchdowns. Ravens are good, Browns are not. Here's Lamar after the game.
13-2, that's dope. We got a great group of guys. I'm happy right now. I'm startled. We're gonna celebrate on the plane probably, but I'm just happy. We got a great ride going on right now. We just gotta keep it going. You know, we want to get to the Super Bowl. I'm just happy. You know, we 13-2 right now.
There's so many things that I like about him. And then Dusty told me this morning he went around and learned everyone's name on the entire security staff, everyone in the building. Just a really great guy, and he seems to be handling the moment very well. Nick, is anyone beating the Ravens in the AFC?
The Ravens right now are the best team in football. This is, I don't think anyone would object to that. They're on an 11-game winning streak. If you like the, I love Football Outsiders. They have really smart, albeit nerdy stats. DVOA says this is one of the top 10 teams through 15 games of the last 30 years. That this is a few spots behind the undefeated Patriots. The number one team on that list is the 91 Washington team. That this is right now a team that is playing like an all-time team. Is anyone beating them? I think Kansas City's got the best shot of anybody. Kansas City was my pick before the year, and Kansas City right now is playing its best football of the season, bar none. The Ravens' defense the last 3 months, 2.5 months, has been exceptional. The Chiefs' defense the last 5 weeks have been the best defense in football, and they still have that guy right there. And I do wonder, to me, there are three legitimate questions for Baltimore. One is, after last week's game, health. Was Mark Ingram, was that a cramp? Or is that a real calf strain?
He's an MRI, I think, today.
MRI today. He is a critical component right to their offense. Another mark. Mark Andrews got banged up. And then we saw Lamar popped right up. Lamar took a big shot.
That was a big hit.
So one question is health. The other question is, how much will the layoff hurt them? I'm sure Baltimore wish they could just keep playing. They've won 11 games in a row. They haven't really even, aside from the San Francisco game, been tested into the fourth quarter in most of these games. They now have a Week 17 game. We don't know who's going to play, but we know they know doesn't matter. Then they have a week off. Then they're going to be playing a team, whomever it is, that just won a playoff game and seemingly is feeling good about themselves. And the last question, and this one, is not because it's Lamar. It would be this case for any young quarterback that either has no playoff experience or their only playoff experience is bad, which is, how will Lamar do in the postseason? Those are, to me, three real questions. The Chiefs, on the other hand, right now are the healthiest they've been all year. They are the hottest they've been all year to go along with Baltimore, but they obviously are going to have to keep going, keep playing, because their seating's not yet settled and they could get the bye. And we know Patrick Mahomes can perform in the playoffs. For all those reasons, the Chiefs are still my pick, taking nothing away from Baltimore. I think Baltimore will probably be a 4-point favorite in the AFC Championship game at home, and they've earned that given what they've done this season.
Look, it's easy to make the case for Baltimore. I mean, among the things you mentioned, but also John Harbaugh. He is a proven Super Bowl champion coach.
It's a great point.
Andy Reid, I like Andy Reid, but a lot of people think he's the Mike D'Antoni of the NFL. He has not gotten it done in the postseason. He has been to the Super Bowl, but obviously hasn't won it. So that is a question mark, but I do think you can make a case for the Chiefs. Another question with Jackson that you didn't bring up, or Baltimore in general. What if they get behind? Okay, now they were behind the Cleveland yesterday, and as you 6-0, but as you said, Cleveland made some dumb mistakes and play calls and stuff, time management at the end of the first half. Kansas City won't do that. Kansas City is also that team that can put them in a hole, can put them in a 13-0 hole, a 21-7 hole, something like that with their offense. So if they get behind, obviously you've got to start throwing the ball. And as well as Lamar has thrown it, he's been throwing it with the threat of the run. When you know you've got to pass because they're behind and time is short, how is he going to respond? You talked last week about they still don't get their receivers involved too much.
Nope.
It's mainly the running backs and the tight ends. And so that's another thing that Kansas City, with their new defense playing well, as you mentioned, great against the pass, tops in the league against the pass lately. They're also 7-1 on the road. So this is a team that can travel. So I do think there's a good argument to be made that Kansas City can prevail.
Let me add one other thing for Baltimore, because even if you're watching right now and you're like, I don't believe in the Chiefs are going to lose to the Titans, the Ravens are going to coast this. Whomever comes out of the AFC is going to be in for a monster opponent in the Super Bowl. Right now in the NFL, of the six best teams in football, four of them play in the NFC. One of them's playing tonight. We saw one of them yesterday with a big comeback against the Titans in New Orleans. Seattle obviously fell on its face a bit. San Francisco with a big comeback against the Rams. So whomever comes out of the AFC is going to face what I think is the best team of the superior conference in the Super Bowl, whether that's Baltimore or Kansas.
But I definitely think of those two teams, and I'll even throw in New England as a third team, I think those three teams can play with whoever comes out of the NFC.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.